Have you got it in your Bibles? Psalm 141 verse 2 says, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense." David says, "Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." David says in verse 1, he says, "Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me, God. I got a need. Give ear to my voice when I cry." Everyone say, "When I cry." It's an audible thing. When I cry, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense." Everyone say, "Incense." "And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." I want to minister today on this title, Changing the Atmosphere. Changing the Atmosphere. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, "Changing the Atmosphere"? Changing the Atmosphere. I believe that through prayer, we can change the atmosphere. Do you believe that today? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, let your word go forth with power today. Turn me into a microphone from heaven. Let these people not hear me, but let them hear from you, Lord God. Lord, minister to every need in this place. Let us leave this place, Lord God, ready and willing to apply what we've heard to our hearts. Let us not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word also. And we'll give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory. And all the church says, a big hearty amen. 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 Changing the atmosphere. You may be seated. Changing the atmosphere. The psalmist David tells us very clearly. He says, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense." How many people have seen incense before? Yeah. You see, from our text, we know a little bit more about prayer because David likens prayer to incense. He tells us basically that prayer and incense have some common similarities, between prayer and incense. And if we can understand, I believe, what incense does, then we can understand some things about prayer. If we can understand what incense does, then we can understand some things about prayer. First of all, if you've ever seen incense, it ascends up to heaven. The same is with our prayers. When we pray, they ascend up to heaven. You see, the point of prayer is that we are ascending up an incense. We are sending up our prayers to the throne of God. And David says, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense." There's something else about incense that you will know if you've ever seen it. Incense has an odor. It has a smell. Everyone say a smell. Prayer also has a smell. In Revelation chapter 5, the Bible talks of the golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And so prayer and incense are very closely tied together because incense ascends up to heaven and our prayers ascend up to heaven. Incense has a smell, and Revelation 5 tells us that the prayers of the saints also have a smell. But there's more about these similarities between prayer and incense. The next point is that to make incense, they will take some herbs and spices and they will beat them. They put them in one of those bowls and they grind them and they beat them and they pound them before it's used and then formed into sticks or something like that. And the same is with our prayers. Our prayers come from a broken and a contrite heart. The same with incense is beaten and pounded before it is used. The same is with prayer. Our prayers come from a broken and contrite heart. And David said, a broken and contrite heart, God will not resist. The fourth one is obvious. Prayers or incense changes the atmosphere. You see, if you've got a smelly home and maybe you've been cooking some garlic or maybe you've been cooking some really smelly meats or things like that, or cooking chili in the home or cooking curry and it's changed the atmosphere. You come home and you can smell the food for days on end. And so what you'll do is you'll take some incense and you'll begin to burn it, and the incense changes the atmosphere. And in the spiritual, my point today is that prayer changes the atmosphere. Can we say that today? Prayer changes the atmosphere. You see, even in the New Testament, when God was getting ready to do a mighty work in Cornelius's life and in Cornelius's household, God is getting ready to do a mighty work. God is getting ready to change the atmosphere in Cornelius's house. In Acts chapter 10, verse 4, and it says, "And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, 'What is it, Lord?' And the Lord said unto him, 'Thy prayers and thine alms are come up before me, have come up for a memorial before God.'" You see, God was getting ready to change the atmosphere in Cornelius's life. He's getting ready to change the atmosphere in his household. And the Bible says that the Lord said, "Your prayers have come up as a memorial before God." And so what happened after prayer went up? Peter went in and preached to the household of Cornelius. And while he was preaching, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit fell on them which heard the word. What happened before the Holy Spirit fell? Prayers went up and the Holy Spirit fell. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says they began to speak with other tongues. And then they were baptized. Everyone say baptized. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, prayer changes things. Prayer doesn't just change the atmosphere, but prayer changes lives. Prayer changes households. Prayer takes you from darkness into light. And when you send the prayers up, when you send the incense of prayer up, God will pour out his Spirit. Prayer changes the atmosphere. Revelation 8, verse 3. This is the account where the opening of the seals, and we come to the seventh seal in Revelation 8, verse 3 to 5. And another angel came and stood at the altar. Everyone say the altar. Having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense. And we know the similarity between prayer and incense, that he should offer it. With the prayers, there's the mingling of incense and prayers, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. And the angel took the censer and he filled it with fire off the altar. And then he cast it. Everyone say he cast it. He cast it into the earth. The prayers were there. And then he took the fire off the altar and he cast it into the earth. And what happened? The atmosphere changed. There were voices. There were thunderings. There was lightnings. There was an earthquake. Something changed. When the prayers of the saints went up, then God cast it down to the earth and there was a change. You see, this scripture tells us that before the throne of God, there was an altar. An altar. And we know, if you've read the Old Testament, you know that the Old Testament is full of altars. And before the throne of God, there is this piece of furniture, which we just read about, called the golden altar. It's not an altar of sacrifice. Many people associate altars with burnt sacrifices, but it's not an altar of sacrifice. The only thing that was offered on this altar before the throne of God was incense. And it was the closest thing to the throne of God. And see, the prayers that got into the throne room, the Bible says that the prayers that went into the throne room were cast down to the earth. And John the Revelator said, and there were voices, there were thunderings, there was an earthquake, there was lightnings. You see, what happened is the prayers went up and then the atmosphere on earth began to change. Something happened in the spiritual, and now something's happening in the physical. You see, spiritual warfare is this, is that the conflict in the invisible realm changes and affects what's happening in the spiritual realm. You think that you're just getting on your knees beside your bed in the morning and it's just a physical thing, but anything that happens in the physical is preceded by something which happens in the spiritual. When we pray, brothers and sisters, understand this, in the week of beginning our 21 days of prayer and fasting, when we pray, we go before the throne of God. And when we pray, what we are doing in the physical, we're beginning to change things in the spiritual. Everything in the physical is preceded by something in the spiritual. And so we see it all through the Bible, through the scriptures, through all the way through from the time of the tabernacle, right through to the book of Revelation. We read that incense speaks of prayers. Incense speaks of the prayers of the people. It begins on the altar with man and it burns up. Everyone say up. It burns up towards God. So we read in Revelation of the golden altar whereon incense was offered in the book of Revelation. But if you know your Bible, also in the Old Testament, we read of the tabernacle. There was also a golden altar of incense in the tabernacle. And that golden altar was not before the throne of God like the New Testament, but it was before the holy place. The Holy of Holies, where the presence of God resided in the Ark of the Covenant. In both those situations, in the tabernacle and in the book of Revelation, the incense spoke of prayer. Now, if you know the tabernacle plan, and I preached on it before, but just remember the layout. They're going to throw it up on the screen. You can see the layout of the tabernacle. You come in through the gate. Everyone say the gate. The gate, and that is not a gate that swings like this. In the tabernacle, it was a gate that hung. And to get through the gate, you would have to bow down and lift it up and go under. That speaks of our approach with God. We come before God with a humble and contrite heart. We've got to be willing to humble ourselves and bow down. It wasn't a gate that you swung open and walked through standing upright, but you bowed down and you lifted it up. And then the first thing you came to was the brazen altar. And on the brazen altar is where sacrifices were given, the sacrifices for sin. And then you would go to the laver of water. Leave that diagram up. The laver of water. And then you would go into the holy place where there was the table of showbread. There was the golden candlesticks. And right before the five pillars which went into the Holy of Holies, you had this golden altar. And on the golden altar is where incense was offered. You say, Pastor, how did they burn the incense on the golden altar? If you know your Bible, you'll know that the coals were taken from the brazen altar, which is the first altar, the place of sacrifice, which speaks of repentance. Those coals were taken, and they were the coals that gave the fire to burn the incense. And that's important, because if we want our prayers, and if we want our intercession to have fire, if you want your prayers and your intercession to have fire, if you want your prayers to be effective, then you must keep repentance as an everyday part of your life. Everybody say repentance. Because before they could offer the incense up to the Lord, which speaks of prayer, before that incense could be offered, they had to go past the brazen altar and take a coal and carry it in. And the same is with us. The first thing we do before we pray is we repent of our sin and we say, I'm sorry, God, that I failed you. I'm sorry, God, for my sin. And there is a turning around in our life. And then we go before God in prayer. And my mom taught me that from a very young age. When I would bow down to pray, she would say, the first thing you need to do, Jonathan, is repent of your sin. She would say, sorry. She say, say sorry to God for the wrong things you've done. And sometimes I look at mom and say, I haven't done anything bad since yesterday. She was telling me, you got to still repent. Because it's the habit of having a broken and a contrite heart. You see, just as incense has to be crushed and broken in the preparation, our prayer must come from a broken and a contrite heart. And Psalm 51 verse 17, David wrote, God will not despise a broken and a contrite heart. And so I want to tell you today, if you want to have power with God in prayer, you got to come to Him in repentance with a broken and a contrite heart. Take a coal from the brazen altar and take it to the altar of incense. Prayer changes the atmosphere. Prayer changes the atmosphere. I want you to understand that today, church. Prayer changes the atmosphere. And some of you here today, you're going from day to day with all sorts of trouble and all sorts of mess. Your life is messed up. Maybe your family is messed up. Your household, things are going on which you're not happy with. I want to tell you that if you would just go to God in prayer, prayer changes the atmosphere. And some of us are testimonies of that, because we were like Cornelius. Prayers were sent up and then God came and saved us. And our family was saved. Why? Because of prayer. Prayer changes the atmosphere. There are times when I feel so overwhelmed, but when I can pray to God and cast my cares upon Him in prayer, and when I come before His presence, when I come before Him with prayer, then things begin to change. A peace comes into my life because prayer changes the atmosphere. You got to get that today, church. And so if prayer changes things, prayer doesn't just change things, it changes the person who prays as well. But why is it that so many Christians struggle with prayer? If we know, if we've heard testimonies of the power of prayer, why is it that we struggle to pray? One of the most dangerous things is to know a little bit about something. When you know a little bit, just enough to be dangerous. It's like someone, you say, are you an electrician? They say, no, but I know a little bit. Be careful. Because if you know a little bit, you know just enough to be dangerous. Because there is a confidence that you have from the little bit that you know. And a lot of Christians know just enough to make them dangerous. And there's a few things that Christians will have in their minds that will stop them from praying. And the first thing is this, a misunderstanding of the sovereignty of God. Everyone say, God is sovereign. They misunderstand the sovereignty of God. And yes, God is sovereign. It is an attribute of God. But what does it actually mean? You can't just say, well, God is sovereign without understanding what it means. And some would say, well, Pastor, God is sovereign. That means we can't change anything. That means that God is sovereign. He just does what He wants to do and we can't change it at all. God is sovereign. And you know what? When people buy into that misunderstanding, they say, what is the use of praying? If God just does what He wants to do and we can't change anything, then what is the use of praying? You see, I told you, when people know a little, they know just enough to be dangerous. And so people misunderstand that. And they say, what is the use of praying? God's going to do what He wants to do anyway. We've got to break the word down to understand what the word sovereign means. It's made up of two words, S-O-V-E, sov, and reign. The prefix is S-O-V-E, which means supreme, which means above, which means over. And the second word is reign, which means to rule. And so to understand the real meaning of sovereign, it means the supreme reign over the universe. God has the supreme reign over the universe. And that doesn't mean that God does what He wants to do. But what it means is that God is in complete charge and God is in complete authority. It means He is in complete charge and complete authority. And some people have a misunderstanding. They say sovereign means that God does what He wants to do and we can't change it. So what's the use of praying? But if you understand the real meaning of sovereign, it means the supreme reign over the universe. And so It doesn't mean that God does whatever he wants to do. It means that he is in complete charge and he has complete authority. And so for some people, when they misunderstand the word sovereign, they say, what is the purpose of praying? But when we understand the real meaning of sovereign, that God is in complete authority and God is completely in charge, then we understand that we've got even more reason to pray, because he is in complete authority. We've got reason to pray because he's in charge. He rules. He reigns. He has supreme reign over the universe. That gives us more of a reason to pray. The second thing is closely tied. They say God is immutable. That word immutable, you can understand it by understanding the second part of that word, which means the word mutable, which comes from the word mutate, which means to change. And so when we say mutable, or when we say mutate, we say it changes. But when we throw the word im in front of it, it means it doesn't change. And so they say God is immutable. And if you misunderstand that, and you have a little understanding only, you just have enough understanding to be dangerous. God is immutable. And I can hear you already thinking about some scriptures, because yes, it's biblical. But many people misunderstand it. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I do not change. Everyone say, he doesn't change. For I am, and James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the fathers of lights, in whom there is no variation, no changing, and no shadow of turning. You say, see, Pastor, God is immutable. And people that misunderstand this, they say, God never changes. So what's the use of praying? What this means is that God never changes his character. He never changes his character. But I'll show you time and time again through the Bible where God changes his mind. But he doesn't change his character. You see, we've got to understand, brothers and sisters, that through prayer, we have influence with God. Through prayer, we have influence with God. And there are people here today that are intercessors, that stand between. They stand in the gap. Why? Because they understand that they have influence with God. I'll show you scripture after scripture where you see that people had influence with God. You see, Moses goes up to the mountain, Mount Sinai, to receive the Ten Commandments. And God says to Moses, get down from the mountain. He says, your people have already sinned. You know what they had done? They had made golden calves that were dancing around these idols. And even worse, when I read this, I kind of missed this in the past. They were even saying that these golden calves were the ones that brought them out of Egypt. Can you imagine how God is feeling? He's feeling wrath. He's not only are they worshiping golden calves, but they're also believing that these golden calves were the ones that brought them out of Egypt. And God says, I'm going to destroy them and I'm going to start over again. And some people would say, well, if God said it, then it's going to happen. And Moses prayed. You can read it. He says, please don't destroy them, God. Give them another chance. Exodus 32 verse 14. So the Lord relented. Or the King James Version says, so the Lord repented from the harm which he would do to his people. The Lord relented. Why? Because somebody knew that they had influence with God. They stood in the gap as an intercessor and they prayed. And so some people say God is immutable. He doesn't change. So why do we pray? But I say to you, God is immutable. He doesn't change his character. He is a gracious, he is a merciful, he is a loving God. That gives me more reason to pray, because prayer changes the atmosphere. See, some people just have enough knowledge to be dangerous. God doesn't change his character. He is full of grace. He is full of mercy. And God changed his mind because of the prayer of a believer. And so the immutability of God is a reason to pray. God told Jonah. He said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. And what did Jonah say? No. And he went the other way, correct? God told Jonah, go and tell Nineveh that I'm going to destroy them. And Jonah goes, I don't want to go. I don't want to go and preach that. So he went the other way to a place called Tarshish. And then a series of events which you learn about in Sunday school happen. He ends up on a boat. The boat ends up in a storm. They throw him overboard. He gets swallowed by a great fish. And then the fish vomits Jonah up on the dry land. Yeah? And God spoke to Jonah. He said, Jonah, have I got your attention yet? Have I got your attention? Are you going to do what I said? And God spoke to Jonah. He said, he gave him the same message he sent. Again, he said, go to Nineveh. So what happened? Jonah went to Nineveh after being warned. And he goes and he preaches. He says, just what God told him to preach. He says, Nineveh, God is going to destroy you. And what happened? Jonah 3 verse 10. Then God saw their works. God saw their repentance. God saw the change of heart. That they turned away. They turned from their evil ways. And what does the Bible says? And God relented. God relented. He repented. He changed his mind. He was going to destroy them. But Jonah prayed and God relented. You see, Jonah is saying, you can't change God. That's who you are. I know who you are, God. If people repent and if they turn their heart to you, your character is gracious. Your character is merciful. Your character is loving. You don't change. And I know if I preach to them and they turn to you, then you will change your mind. His character doesn't change. You see, the immutability of God is not a reason not to pray. It is a reason to pray. And God calls intercessors. He changes his mind, but he doesn't change his character. He is loving. He is compassionate. He is merciful. He is gracious. And he wants to have mercy on us. In Genesis chapter 18, we read about Abraham. Abraham puts himself between God and what God has said he's going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham hears what God's going to do. And so Abraham puts himself right in the middle. He knows God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And so Abraham stands in the middle and he says, God, if there are 50 righteous, will you spare the city? And God begins to converse with Abraham. And Abraham says, if there are 40, if there are 30, if there are 20, will you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? And you know what? We find God, the immutable God, he stands there conversing with Abraham. And God spared the city because there was an intercessor. There was an intercessor. And I want to call some intercessors back to intercessory prayer. And I want to remind you today in this 21 days of prayer that you have influence with God. You stand between the judgment of God and the salvation of your lost loved ones, your lost family, your lost colleagues. You stand in that place. And I want to encourage somebody today, keep standing in the gap because you have influence with God. I've been in church long enough. I've been in church for a long time all my life, and the devil keeps telling me, you ought to be worn out. Can't you see that people, there's only a few people that want God. You're just pushing a barrow up a hill. It's hard. People are difficult. People don't want to live for God in these last days. And the devil comes and tells me, Jonathan, just sit down and fold your arms. But I come here to rebuke that spirit in Jesus' name because I have influence with God. My work is not finished. There is a city to be saved. There is a nation to be saved. There are people to be saved. So I will stand in the gap. And God spared the city because there was an intercessor. I rebuke that spirit which says you ought to give up. There's no hope. God doesn't change. You can't pray. You can't. He is sovereign. You can't change anything. What's the use of prayer? I rebuke it. We have influence with God. Ezekiel 22 verse 30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up an hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. We have influence with God, church. We have influence with God. Keep praying for your lost children. Keep praying for your lost loved ones. Keep praying for your lost family. Keep praying for your colleagues. Let's keep praying for our city. Let's keep praying for our nation. We have influence with God. And so in the tabernacle, there was this golden altar of incense right before you went through the veil into the Holy of Holies. That altar of incense is a type. You see, The altar of incense was the highest piece of furniture. Check out the measurements for yourself. It was the highest. And it was right in the middle of the whole tabernacle plan. It was the highest and the central piece of furniture. And this is a type of prayer. The golden altar of incense speaks of prayer. And this tells us about prayer. Prayer is at the heart. Prayer is at the center of our relationship with God. Prayer is at the heart of our relationship with God. Now, I know I'm going to step on some toes right now, but why is it that many only pray as a last resort? Oh my goodness, look at the trouble I'm in. I guess I better pray. Why is it that people only pray to get God to do things for them? Why is it that people only pray to get answers or to move the hand of God or ask God for favor or ask God for some type of advantage? Why is it that we only pray for answers when things get bad? Prayer ought to be the center of our relationship with God. Imagine if you were married and the only time you talked to your spouse is when you wanted something. Can you imagine your marriage lasting very long? Can you imagine any relationship lasting very long if you only talk to that person when you wanted something? Gimme, 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 gimme. Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. I want, I want, I want. Don't misunderstand me right now, but praying isn't all about getting answers. Prayer is about developing our relationship with God. It ought to be the highest. It ought to be the most central part of our walk with God. Don't just pray when you need help. Don't just pray when you need answers. Prayer ought to be the center of our relationship with God. Prayer is not just all about getting answers. Prayer is about developing our relationship with God. And you see, when people misunderstand that, then they get weary and they wait a while and then they basically just give up. And they give up fervent prayer and they just settle for some stale ritual of prayer. You see, the primary purpose of prayer is to talk with God, to develop a relationship with God. And when you pray, prayer gives you power with God. When you pray, God says, I know that voice. I know that. That's my child. They talk to me regularly. We got a relationship. They know me. The Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You see, prayer is the heart of our relationship with God. And when you have a prayer life, it creates an atmosphere in your life. It is that continual incense in your life before God. It changes things. You see, when you burn incense in a room, it changes the atmosphere. Here in Canberra, I wish we could grow palm trees, but it's the wrong atmosphere. I wish we could grow banana trees, but it's the wrong atmosphere. Oh, how I would love to have some mango trees in Canberra, but it's the wrong atmosphere. You see, if you go up north, you'll see bananas. If you go up north, you'll see mangoes. You'll see palm trees. Those sorts of trees don't grow down here because they need a certain type of atmosphere. And there are some things that only grow in the heart of somebody who prays. You wonder why? Why is it that they've got power with God? I want to tell you why. Because they pray. Why is it that there are certain people we run to and say, please pray with me? Because we know they've got power with God because they go into the throne room every day. They've got an environment where God answers prayer. I want to tell you that prayer is the center of our relationship with God. And when you pray, when you offer up that continual incense, you have power with God. There were some people in the Bible, they were praying, trying to cast out a demon. And Jesus walks up to them. He said, that demon isn't going to come out except by prayer and fasting. And so what, did Jesus go back and spend 21 days of prayer and fasting? No, he said, demon, come out. And the demon came out. They looked at him. I thought you said we had to have a prayer meeting. No. David went up to Goliath. He killed Goliath with the stones that he prepared beforehand. You see, a lot of us, we run into the battle, and we scrounging around trying to find a stone at the last minute. But David defeated Goliath with the preparation beforehand. You see people that have power with God, they've got some stones before the battle was there. They've been praying and fasting even when they didn't need answers. They just had power with God. And there are some things that can't grow in your life unless you can continually create the atmosphere of prayer. And so that altar is the central, the highest piece of furniture. You'll notice on each of the four corners, there are four horns. Everyone say horns. Horns speak of power. They are figurative of power and strength. Horns are the chief source of attack, and they are defense as well. And those four horns speak of the power of prayer. In the midst of the battle, most people would never think of dropping your weapons and dropping all of your armor and folding your hands together and getting down on your knees. You see, in the physical realm, to get down on your knees and to fold your hands is a sign of surrender. But it is that exact position when you fall to your knees, when you put your hands together, when you close your eyes and humble yourself before God, that is where we assume the greatest spiritual posture. That's where we have power offensively. That's where we have power defensively. In the world, they say, what is the use of falling to your knees? It's a sign of giving up. But when we fall to our knees in prayer, that is the most powerful position that you can have, offensively and defensively, because when you pray, you have power with God. Somebody believe me today? Those four horns speak of power. I want to remind somebody today, Psalm chapter 20 verse 7 says, some may trust in chariots and some may trust in horses, but I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord our God. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. God, I'm going to send up some incense and change the atmosphere. We're coming into our 21 days of prayer and fasting, church. I want to remind you, whatever you need to change, prayer changes things. We fight on our knees. We fight on our knees. Going to ask the ushers to quickly hand something out, grab a few people to help you. When you create an atmosphere of fear of prayer, you'll see some things begin to change in your life. Quickly get a few young people, guys, Matthew Taylor, Divine, quickly come down here and help them hand out these flyers here. When you create an atmosphere of prayer, things begin to change. We've just been through a global pandemic, and I've seen differences in people's lives. Some people have peace. I'm not saying they're foolish, but they have a peace. Why? Because peace grows in an atmosphere of prayer. Some people are hopeless. They don't pray. And some people still have hope. Why? Because hope grows in an atmosphere of prayer. When you create an atmosphere of prayer, when you send up that influence, when somebody else walks into the room and you're a person of prayer, they're going to say, what is that? You got power with God. And I, in the morning, when I'm driving on my way to work, I'm spending time in prayer. In the morning, when I get up, I'm spending time in prayer. I'm saying, God, I want to get into your presence. I want to send up the incense. Everyone say incense. The thing about incense is like smoke. It gets in your clothes. There's times when I go into hospitals, and some of you have been in the hospital with you at very dark and very difficult times. But I want to walk into that room and I want somebody to smell the incense of prayer. They say, this person has been with God. This person is a man of God. This person is a person of prayer. Why? Because they can smell it in the clothes. They can smell the incense. You see, prayer is the thing that makes the difference. I got up early one morning and I rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbling around about me and heavy came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. And then God said, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, because you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided me. My child, you didn't knock. And so I woke up early this morning and I paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish. I had to take time to pray. And I want you to put that in your Bible. Leave it there as a reminder that prayer changes the atmosphere. That is a beautiful poem. I was unable to find so many people quote that poem. I was unable to find out who exactly wrote it. But it is a powerful reminder that prayer changes the atmosphere. As I get ready to finish, Psalm 61, verse 1 to 3. Hear my cry, O God. Everyone say, cry. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me unto the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from my enemy. Hear my cry, O God. Hear my utterance. Hear my voice. Psalm 3, verse 1 to 4 says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they which rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Everyone say voice. And he heard me out of his holy hill. I cried unto the Lord with my heart. What, is that what the Bible says? No. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried unto the Lord in my mind, in my brain. No. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. In my distress, I called the pastor. No. In my distress, I cried unto God. Don't bother come talking to the pastor unless you talk to God first. Don't bother come and ask me to pray unless first you've prayed. I was in distress and I asked the pastor to counsel me. No, David says, no, I sought counsel from God. When I was sick, I cried unto the doctor. No, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. You see, incense and prayer. You see the similarities. We send them up before God. It changes the atmosphere. And I want you to picture this right now. When you send up prayers, that incense of prayer goes up and God inhales that sweet aroma. Night and day, morning and evening sacrifice, God he inhales that sweet aroma. Can you envisage that just a moment as God inhales the prayers of his saints? Church, may we never take the privilege of prayer lightly. May we never take, I want to speak right now, listen to me carefully. May we never take the privilege of prayer lightly. May we never make prayer something that bothers us or wastes our time. May we never take the privilege of prayer lightly. I come against the devil who's told you there's no use praying. The devil is a liar. You can call on God. You can cry unto the Lord with your voice and he will hear you. We read it in Revelation. John describes the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. In other words, the prayers of the saints are filling up these heavenly bowls with the sweet aroma. And when you pray, you can read it in Revelation, you're filling up the bowls of heaven. And there comes a time when they are full. The Bible says in Revelation that then they will be poured out on the earth. The answer comes at God's appointed time. The answer will come. So keep praying. Don't take the privilege of prayer lightly, because prayer changes the atmosphere. Let's stand in this place right now. The most powerful people on planet earth are people that pray. The most powerful people in Canberra are not the politicians, not the prime minister, not people that sit on the hill, but people that sit on their knees in prayer. And so, Pastor, how do I discover the power of prayer? Let me tell you how you discover the power of prayer. You start praying. Start praying. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest of saints on his knees. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest of saints on his knees. If you're weak, you say, Pastor, I'm weak. How can I pray? Let me tell you, Satan trembles when you get on your knees. There is nothing as powerful as prayer. You see, spiritual awakenings can happen at any moment. Spiritual awakenings can happen at any time in your life. They can happen. But they will never happen outside of prayer. If you want to be spiritually awakened, if you want revival in your life, if you want a refreshing, it's only going to happen if you can start to pray. Prayer is not the only thing, but prayer is the principal thing. The central part of our relationship with God. The four horns speak of the power. The position in the center of the tabernacle speaks of its centrality of our relationship with God. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves. yourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's lift our hands right now, church. Prayer changes the atmosphere. I know for some of you it's been an encouragement. You're on the right track. I want to tell you, keep praying. But for some of you, you've taken the privilege of prayer lightly. Envisage once more that when you pray, incense goes up and God inhales those prayers. You are filling up the bowls of heaven, and at the appointed time, God will pour out the answers on earth. There'll be voices and thunderings and earthquakes. Things begin to happen when we create an atmosphere of prayer. Prayer is not the only thing, but it's the principal thing. Young people, if you want to have success, be a prayer warrior. Don't stop praying, because when you pray, you fill up the bowls of heaven and the answer will be poured out on earth. Send up incense to God and change the atmosphere. Come on, let's lift our voices right now as we pray. Hallelujah. Come on, cry unto God with your voice. Lift up your voice right now. Cry unto God with your voice. There is power in prayer. Hallelujah, yes. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Let's send up some incense in this place today. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Before we sing, if you read the Bible, and I can't give you the exact reference right now, you can look it up, but it says that prayerlessness is a sin, the sin of prayerlessness, of not praying. And some of us ought to come to God right now and say, God, forgive me for not praying. Forgive me for not praying. Some of us ought to come to God and say, God, forgive me for only asking and not just wanting to talk to you, because you're my God. This altar is open right now. We ought to get on our knees. If this altar is full, you ought to find a place where you can kneel at your seat right now. Come on, let's get on our knees. Let's create an atmosphere in this place. Let's leave this place with our homework, because some things have got to change. Prayer is not the only thing, but prayer is the principal thing. As we worship, let's pray. Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The atmosphere is changing now.
Hallelujah. Let's find a place to pray, church. Let's find a place to pray. Find your knees before God. A humble and contrite spirit. God will not reject it. The evidence is all around.